I sprang this on them at the last moment. So we're going to see if we can make this soundtrack work. Here we go. Judge called my name. It looks like you're guilty. What do you say? I said, Your Honor, I have no defense. That's when mercy walked in and pleaded my case, yep, to stand. God's saving grace, the blood was presented, it covered my sin. Forgive when mercy walked in. Lift a hand and shout hallelujah. I stand here in wonder, how could it be that one who was willing just been set free. Yeah, listen now. My chains are all broken. I feel born again. The moment His mercy walked in. Yeah, mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. God's saving grace, blood was presented that covered my sins. Lord, give me mercy, oh. Mercy walked in. Well, you got a little dose of Southern country gospel music. God bless you. Oh, remember that day. Do you remember the day when you said, I'm sorry, and he said, okay. Wow, it's mind-blowing. So God bless you. All right, we're going to preach to you tonight from the Word of the Lord, and Terry's going to come and get us started. As you know about us, there can be interruptions along the way. So we're going to do that. Terry, come on. Amen. Okay, seems I need another mic up here. Any of these work?
Well, y'all just heard country.
Yeah.
Let me tell y'all, that boy was country before country was cool.
Yeah.
Welcome, Lake Charles. You understand country. Found out that he goes to a friend of mine church, helps them in that church, and that's always wonderful to see friends wherever you go.
No. Could I please back out of that? I'm sorry. Very sorry.
I didn't even hear what you said, so it don't matter.
Woo. Nobody says a word.
Everybody come tell me after church. It is so good to be back. It is so good to be back. I just love to come here. You guys have an awesome atmosphere of worship, and God is here. And that's all that really matters. He shows up, and we're all in our rightful places and our rightful alignment with Him. And I have to say that I know that y'all may not be real thrilled, but I'm thrilled that it's snowing tomorrow. Y'all just have to wait till I see God's just helping me out, because I needed a little of my winter fix of snow. And I'm sorry, He's just going to let it snow for just a day while I'm here. Just give me a day, then it can all go away. But I do love to come. And y'all may hate the weather and hate the cold, but I'm enjoying it. And I'm enjoying my friends here. You know, I suppose that you could call the day that we're living in a real time of conflict and confusion. I don't know. Nothing seems to be normal anymore. I don't even know what normal is anymore. There's not normal families. There's not normal jobs. There's today, I suppose, we found out that the stock market is even not normal, which I don't suppose it's ever been. But, you know, you're not ever really sure where anything stands. At one time, you know, jobs were very secure. You know, people got a job and they worked there for, you know, 30 years and they retired. Now, that usually doesn't happen. Jobs change and companies buy things out, and you never know what tomorrow is going to hold about anything. And I know that one time retirement was a settled issue, and, you know, people retired and they took it easy. And now one of the biggest workforces that we have are over 65 that are all trying to find jobs to supplement retirement. It's just a different day. Our world is unstable. We've had so many terroristic threats and terroristic acts, and it's almost like you're wondering where the next school shooting will be and what's going to be happening when you wake up in the morning. And I know used to when there was a big earthquake somewhere, everybody got all concerned, and now it's like there's a big earthquake every 2 or 3 days. But I personally am tired of people living in fear. Oh, yeah. And I'm tired of people living in this spirit of uncertainty. Yeah. And I'm very weary of the negative. You know, you hear that everywhere too. Don't listen to the news. Don't read any papers. Don't check your media. Don't do anything, because all you're going to hear is something negative and a threat of something else. And, you know, there's drugs here and there's murders there and there's violence there and there's a little bit of everything everywhere. And it seems like it's just full of uncertainty, and people lay down at night and they lay down in fear.
Oh, that's right.
You know what I miss? I miss believing in fairy tales. Remember when you're a kid, you just believed that the prince was going to come along and kiss you and you were going to live in a castle for the rest of your life?
It happened to you.
Well, country came along, that's for sure. Country showed up, but the castle hasn't yet. I still have faith. Wow. I really also miss that in the days when I grew up, the worst thing that could happen in my neighborhood was for one of the kids in the neighborhood to have a bike wreck. Now, so many tragic things happen. In those days, my worst conflict was with my brother. But today, it seems like we're fighting kingdom conflicts with Satan every day. We live in a fast-paced society that is constantly seems like it's eroding our God we trust. So where does that leave us? I know that there really isn't any more fairy tales. And I know that where I'm living right now holds a lot of conflict and confusion. I do know what the then holds because I've read the back of the book. But what about today and my survival? I can't control the times that we're living in, and I sure can't control the darkness of our age. But I have some really good news to bring you tonight. And it's going to be the title of our sermon. And here it is. Satan is defeated, but I am delivered. Come on, you need to get more excited about that than you are. The devil has already been defeated, my friend, but you have already been delivered. It is a signed, sealed document that works. Wow. Thank you for it, Lord. I'm going to read Psalms 111, verses 6 through 8. And I'm going to read in the Amplified. You can follow in whatever version you have. Oh, it's in the Amplified. Good, thank you. He has declared and shown to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. Here's what I really like. The works of his hands are absolute truth and justice. They're faithful and they're right. And all of his decrees and precepts are sure. There is a sure foundation in an unstable world. They're fixed, they're established, and thank God they're trustworthy. They stand fast and they're established forever and forever, and they're done in absolute truth and uprightness. Now that doesn't have 1 ounce of negativity in it. And that's a promise to everybody in this building tonight, because Brother Grant, I don't know, but I don't think there's an expiration date on that scripture. There's no expiration date, so he is still trustworthy. He is still sure. His word is still established, and we are going to make it through this trial. If it's ever been truth, my friend, it's still truth. And it says that he's going to show his people the power of his works, that he can give us our heritage. I'm going to tell you, that heritage as a child of God is a whole nother sermon that's so excited all by itself, because I am in his bloodline. I may not have been born a Jew, but honey, I have been grafted in, and I have got every promise that everybody else has. So what I'm hoping to do by the end of this message is just to give you a renewed hope and a new outlook and a new purpose. Because we all need to be reminded of who we are and whose we are. He is going to give us our inheritance. His truth is established forever and forever. Let's just talk about it for a minute. Do you believe that God's going to win in the end? Okay. Do you believe he's going to give us strength to make it through? Do you believe he's going to destroy Satan? Since that's established, you know you're going to win, because this is what the word says and it's what you believe, and we just read that it's true. So what you have got to do tonight is get your eyes on the victory and off of the battle. You start looking to your Savior and not your circumstance. Yeah.
Because he is the only one we can really trust. And he is the only one that the precepts are sure and established forever and forever. You know, I'm not talking about being like an ostrich with my head stuck in the ground. But I am talking about not letting the power of God be overshadowed by the tactics of Satan at this point in history. God is still in control. He is still large and in charge. And you must remember that Satan is already a defeated foe. It has already happened to him. I want you to say that with me. Satan is a defeated foe. Let's say it like we believe it from down here. Satan is a defeated foe. He's already got his forwarding address. We need not live in fear of what he does or the tactics that he employs. Let's just read about it. Because I'm going to tell you, as sure as the sun's rising in the morning, the devil's bound for destruction. Let's read Revelation 20 and 10. You have that?
I do.
Revelation 20 and 10.
And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Oh, hallelujah.
It's already over.
It's already over.
You don't have to be afraid any longer. Oh. He is defeated and you've been delivered. But you know what? As that time gets closer and closer for him to be thrown into that lake of fire, he gets more desperate.
Oh, yeah, he does.
And that's why we have so much more darkness and sickness and confusion that covers our world. He doesn't have very much longer to work, so he's out to destroy everything he can.
Yep.
It is strictly his inherent nature. He cannot help it. He's just the devil. And he's good at being the devil. I don't know. He's not a good devil. He's a destroyer. Whether it's your life, whether it's your family, whether it's your job, whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, whether it's your church, it does not matter. He wants to destroy whatever he can.
That's right.
Really, it's a war against good and evil. And we're just caught in the middle. And we decide which side we're going to be on.
Yeah, we decide.
You know, I really hate to admit this, but Steve and I took this last church that we pastored for 23 years. We hadn't been there very long. And they still, at this point, because this has been 30 years ago, the young people had skits. Anybody remember when the young people used to have skits? Yeah, all you young ones are like, what is a skit? It's like they play act. Anybody remember the singer Carmen? He had this song about God and the devil, and y'all remember it? What was the name of that song?
The champion.
God and the devil are in a fight. And so our young people are going to have a skit to the song. Now, I'm sitting on the front row. It's Friday night youth service. And the song comes blaring over the speakers. And here's Carmen singing. And out of this door comes the devil. And y'all, so help me goodness, he had a tail and a pitchfork. Yeah. And I am sitting there in utter amazement.
Dressed in black.
Yeah, oh, total black. Oh, he is bad news. Walking in there. Out of this door comes God, dressed in white sheet. And so help me. They they get down in front of the pulpit, and in the middle of this song where God and the devil are in this fight, I wish I could remember all the words to the song. They've got God and the devil fighting. I should have set them down at that point, but I was totally flabbergasted.
We were hoping God would win.
Well, the young people are all out there, go God, go God, go. And I'm like, what? This is not really a war like that, my friends. The devil's already been defeated. God does not have to come out of his corner and start whipping up on the devil. That's already been done a long time ago. Satan is not going to win, and Satan cannot destroy the church. It's not even a real war. The sides are not equally matched. We are not having a throwdown. Let's read Revelation 20 again. I like that. I like that chapter. Let's look. Let me show you how ludicrous that was, that God's fighting the devil. Read verses 1 and 2.
Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit.
Okay, back up to verse 1. Put verse 1 back
shut
up there.
Shut the door and kicked it shut.
Oh. Okay, what's that verse? And I saw what?
An angel. An angel.
One.
Oh, no. Just one.
One little angel. I don't think there are little angels, but one is all it took to get rid of the devil. And there are hosts of angels encamped around the children of God. Yeah. There are hosts of angels encamped around about this church. I'm telling you, friend, this is not really a war. We've already got the victory. We've just got to start claiming it. Quit looking at the battle and start looking at him. Man, do you know, he cannot come against the blood of Calvary. And you know, I get up every morning, and here's what I do. First, I tell God, good morning. See what we're going to do today. Second thing I do is I cover myself with the Spirit of God, and I draw a bloodline around myself. Because I'm going to tell you, he can't come against the blood. But you know what he can do? He can mess up your testimony if you give him access. Because Revelation 12 and 11 says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Satan can't mess with the blood, but he can mess with your testimony. And he tests us to see what we really will stand for. And whose side we're going to choose. And you know, he came in the book of Genesis. I'll find my scripture. He came, I think it's Genesis 3. You'd think I'd have this written down, but I don't. Look at Genesis 3, where he comes to Eve in the garden. I think that's where it's at. Genesis 3. Let me show you what he does. You're almost there. Okay, and I did not give that to the people, so it's not their fault. It's my fault. I don't know. Where does Brother Grant will know? He's the smart one here. It's where Eve and Satan have this conversation. You ready? Read it.
Now the serpent was more crafty.
Oh, my.
than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the middle of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die.
The devil tries to twist God's words.
One word. One word.
And you know what different. He does? He puts enough of the truth in there that he gets a hook in you. And you start listening. And then he just twists this little thing. And before you know it, you've already succumbed to his thought processes. Let me tell you what happened in the garden. And I don't know. I have no idea about this. And once again, Brother Grant's going to straighten us all out when church is over. But Scripture talks about the curse on the devil being that he slithers on his belly, right? How did he come into the garden? Did he have feet? Brother Grant don't know, so I don't have to know. Okay, I'm saying if the curse was for him to slither on his belly, somehow he had to get into the garden before he started slithering. So I guess he just walked in. Now, I don't want to see a snake slither, and I sure don't want to see one with feet walking. But my friend, when he had to leave that garden, he left defeated. Because he was cursed and it was over for him. And Scripture says that we put him under our feet. I don't have to worry about the fact that he is still alive in this world. All I know is I've got Jesus on the inside of me, and I'm headed for a city whose builder and maker is God. And I don't have to be defeated any longer. I walk in victory. Woo! Hallelujah! Yes! Y'all know what? God is not coming back for a bride that's haggard and torn and barely surviving. He is coming back for one that doesn't have a spot or a wrinkle. He is coming back for somebody that's glorious. I don't go to a wedding looking for a bride to come walking down the aisle with her dress half torn and her hair's a wreck and she looks like she's been run over by an 18-wheeler. No! When I enter into his courts, I come with a praise in my step and a thanksgiving in my voice because I have already been delivered! I am his bride. He has no intention for you to get beat up. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. And he can take care of whatever I have need of. See, our problem is we just don't ask. God wants us to be dancing and rejoicing. Not because everything in our life is perfect or that our world is at peace, but because he is good. Not because everything always goes like I want it to, but he has mercy. He is faithful, and I'm on my way to a city that's made of gold. You know what? When I get to that city and I see him, and I don't know if I can think about this or not, but when I see him in all of his splendor and his glory and his omnipotence, and then I think, are you kidding me?
I left that little entity of a devil that was taken care of by one created being. I let him trample on my life, trample on my family, trample on my emotions, trample on my mind. No, I'm not, my friend, because I know my God is bigger than any problem that I have. Come on, let's worship him. He's bigger than whatever is going on in your life. He's bigger than whatever is going on in your family. My God is bigger. He is bigger.
So here's the deal. You're going to play for somebody.
The Eagles or the Patriots.
She's 3 days late, but that's all right.
I finally get there.
I couldn't be for either one of them, so I, you know. If there's not a cowboy in the game, I'm not interested.
Oh, God, back to country.
I knew that we'd get a response. Hey, let's do something. Would you stand? Boy, I tell you, we're on the verge of something special and spectacular in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
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 So you decide who you're going to play for. I'm playing for the church. I'm playing for God. I'm playing for everything I know about the Word of God.
Yes.
I'm on this team. Or I'm going to, you know, play for the other boys. I'm not even going to talk about them. I'm on God's side, and I'm going to stay there. So hold your hand out. This is what you call a prophetic exercise. That's what I call it. You can call it what you want to. I want you to take your biggest problem. Don't look around. Just take your biggest problem. Who? A disease, a family member, a friend who won't quit running their mouth, a problem with a marriage, finances, whatever it is, put it in your hand, okay? We're just playing, so play with me. Put it in your hand. Nod your head when you got it there. Nod your head. Yeah, it's there. Now I want you to drop it on the ground. Turn it over. Now, as the Bible says, stomp on it. Well, that problem's gone. Oh, come on, somebody rejoice. Satan is under our feet. Yeah, somebody act excited about it. Hey, we're going to pray again, but listen. If you believe Acts 2:38, I believe you do. Anybody believe that? Would you say amen?
Amen.
Then you got to believe what we just did. It's all the same book. Satan is under my feet. Hey, and you know I heard a preacher say the other day that the only way Satan gets visibility is if you allow him to climb up on you. You allow his ways of living, his conversations, his spirits in you. And then he gets visibility. As long as you'll put him under your foot. He got no right here. This is not his church. You're not his child. You're a child of God. The blood of Jesus overcomes and washes everything.
Woo. In the name of Jesus, I take dominion and authority over every spirit in this building and every spirit that has come against this building. I bind it to the blood of Calvary. Satan, you will not defeat what God has already preordained. You will not come against a group of people that God has already opened up the windows of heaven. In the name of Jesus, we bind fear. We bind failure. We bind doubt. We bind defeat. And we lose victory in this church. We lose revival. We lose anointing. We lose faith and love and peace.
All right, get out in the aisle nearest you and begin to shout and praise and rejoice and love the Lord. Come on, all over this building. Find you a spot where you can just worship like crazy. Because Satan is defeated. He's under our feet. He is no longer around. This is not his church. You don't belong to him. He's not in control of you. Come on. Somebody clap your hands and praise the Lord. Oh, come on. How about everybody worship the Lord? Everybody exercise your right as a child of God.
Satan, you're defeated in my mind. You're defeated in my emotions.
Come on, come on, come on.
You're defeated in my life. You're defeated in my family. You're defeated in my finances. You're defeated in my relationships. I am a victor.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, if you've been having trouble with your mind, put your hand on your head and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take dominion over
That's
my
it.
Thought processes. I take dominion over what my mind is thinking. I am a child
in the
of
name
God.
Of Jesus, I
I'm an overcomer.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Bless the Lord. Listen, listen. If you're having trouble doing this tonight, then you might need to stay here after church and find you a corner and pray yourself through. There should be nothing hard about worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord. Come on. Hey, here's the proof. Let everything that has breath. Hey, check your neighbor. Check your neighbor and see if they got a pulse. See if they're breathing. Let everything that has breath, what? Come on, I'm telling you, Satan is defeated. He's defeated. He's defeated. Hallelujah. Woo! Shatana rabo koria la la ya. Ula boku shika la la bokoria handa la bo shanda la haya. Thank you.
Hi, yeah, 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 yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, I'm just out here on the diving board on the deep end. I may, you know. So can I tell you what I feel? Can we just do it like that? I think everybody here, and you know, just flew in, as they say, on a jet plane last night, late. And I regret to tell you how late I slept today. But God must have known we needed it. So I don't know. We'll be up and at it tomorrow, maybe. But so here's the deal. I haven't been up here at the church. I haven't been digging. I just like for you to trust that I'm doing what I feel like doing. I want you to find about three people and just say, if there's anything I need to apologize for, I just want you to know I love you. And I want to hear Jesus say, well done. And if there's anything there, I'm not going. Now, we could have a Bible study on that. But if you think you can keep something in your heart and still hear Jesus say, well done, we need to come back another week and get into that. But I know you know that. You believe that. So go ahead. Just because they may say, what are you talking about? I don't know. I don't owe you nothing. Well, great. Find you somebody else. Come on. I love you. I love you. Forgive me. Hallelujah. I love you. Forgive me. Somebody and just, yeah, just hug them, hug them a big old hug and just tell them, hey, if I need to tell you I'm sorry, here it is.